Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast, Down the Rabbit Holes, in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of your application.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
How are you?
Well, being that you just told me you're going to love this one, and I couldn't exactly tell if that was frustration, if it was sarcasm.
Oh, it's very sarcastic. Amy, I could literally tell you this story in 3 sentences. That's how much is out there.
Oh, I'm sure that you came up with a way to give more information or at least generate a discussion.
Oh, for sure. Yes. And I just stuttered. I just stuttered because I was like, we're just going to talk about it. Now, let me just tell you, you guys all know the Charlie Project is our Bible, right? Like, we start there. That is where what we do. That's how we know, et cetera.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not a date of birth. The timeline is shaky at best.
Huh.
Yeah.
But our last case, you had to use, or I think it was our last case, or 2 cases ago, whatever, you had to use person 1 and person 2. Are we in that kind of ballpark here?
No, no. It's a better, oh, no. Oh, we're just going to dive in, okay? All right. Okay. Today we're going to talk about Cheyenne Cluse. Now, when I tell you that she is stunning, I'm not even a little bit exaggerating. So there's no date of birth, there's no information. But when I tell you this girl is gorgeous, like stunning, and that's going to be a factor in this case.
Oh, so I'm actually, if I'm being transparent, I was kind of wondering where you were going, because we don't often go into details about appearances or anything.
You're right, we don't. But Cheyenne's looks and her age, she's 22 at the time she goes missing. She had a laundry list of men that would try to date her.
Oh, okay. So I understand.
Okay. Cheyenne is from the Downers Grove area of Illinois. Now, that's where she went missing from. It sounds like she's from about 2 miles from there, but again, there's not a whole lot out there. So in 2017, she turned 22, and it was probably the hardest year of her life. Her mom slowly died that year of kidney failure.
Oh, no.
And it was painful, and her mom was her rock. And shortly after her mom died, her dog passed away.
I'm sure her dog gave her comfort, too. I mean, that's who I turned to.
Me, too. So, yes, 2017 was really hard for a 22-year-old Cheyenne. And she, I don't want to say is willing to accept attention from the wrong places, but I think that she was feeling down and almost hollow from the loss and was appreciating male attention.
Anything really to provide some connection with a human that would probably exactly. give it back. I could understand that.
There's like three articles about this, and I want to introduce you now to Cheyenne's best friend, Chad. All of the articles, though, say he was very clearly friend-zoned, but that wasn't what he wanted.
I can't say that that is an unfamiliar narrative.
Right. So then he does a couple interviews and he talks about, like, he basically didn't like any guy that came into Cheyenne's life. And part of me thinks that he was looking out for her, but part of me also thinks it was jealousy.
Probably. It's fair and reasonable.
So at some point toward the end of the year, she starts hanging out with 38-year-old Brian Biddle.
38?
Yes.
Try not to have strong opinions on any of this stuff, but what are you doing with a 22, 23-year-old? Just wondering. Love is blind, they say, and I might be being too harsh.
Well, they weren't, like, dating. They were just friends, but they were both into drinking and partying with drugs.
Okay.
So Brian brought her to parties. They drank. They did drugs. I'd like to point out that at this point, Cheyenne did not have a car and was 22 and broke. And I don't mean broke like homeless broke, but I mean like we've all been 22, right?
Oh, my gosh. No credit cards, no assets, nothing. Been there 100%.
Exactly. So when I say like she's 22 and broke, I don't mean that in a derogatory. I feel like everyone's been 22 and broke.
Right. It's starting at the bottom and working your way up.
Exactly. Let's go to December 1st, 2017. Now, I think it's December 1st. December 1st is the day she is listed as missing. However, I don't know if that's the day that she went to party with Brian or if it's the day that she was reported missing.
Well, I appreciate that. Trying to clarify that.
So I'm going to act like that's the first, but it could have been November 29th. It could have been 2 days before.
Okay.
It started out no differently. It sounds like Brian paid for an Uber for Cheyenne to come to his place. And according to Brian's statement later, they had their own private two-person party / bender at his place. In the early morning hours, 1.5 days later, so here's where I think it's December 3rd, but it could be the 1st if it went on the 29th. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. You have no anchor date. So right. You know it's a day or a day and a half later, but a day and a half later from what? It's your best guess with the information.
Exactly. The Charlie Project lists her as missing from December 1st.
Yeah.
So my guess would be this text message is to happen on the 1st. But I don't know, so I don't want to, whatever. So anyway, 1.5 days later, in the early, early morning hours, it sounds like it was in like the 5 a.m. hour, Chad gets multiple text messages from Cheyenne saying, come get me. Can you please come get me? I need you to come pick up me right now. Wake up. Come pick me up. Sounds very desperate. Chad is sleeping, right? Because it's, you know, the early morning hours. But he wakes up about 20 minutes later, just by chance. He sees all the missed texts, and so he immediately texts her back and says, like, what do you need? He calls her, nothing.
A mere 20 minutes, too?
Yes.
Oh.
Nothing. No response.
Okay.
I don't know at what point she was reported as missing, because I know that in the next 10 days... her family started to look for her. They filed a report, but I don't know when or how it was prompted. I know you're like shaking your head, but literally this is what I have to work with.
And I've been there, Melissa. I 100% understand what sometimes we're working with. It just is one of those things where it's like, it, it goes into a whole other conversation about who gets the story and who doesn't.
Right. Now, at some point, police do talk to Brian Biddle. And you're going to love this. Do I know what his story is?
I mean, I have a couple of good guesses. There's a couple of...
Oh, you're not going to even be close.
I'm not. All right.
They partied into the early morning hours.
Yes.
He went to bed and slept for 18 hours.
To be
and
fair.
And slept so soundly, he did not hear anything that went on in his house.
To be completely fair, depending on the drugs that he used and how long he had been on a bender, like if he had been using crack for days, he very well could have crashed and burned. I'm just saying.
Why do we have multiple cases with men that are sleeping rocks?
I'm just trying to not jump to conclusions immediately. I'm trying to be fair.
Okay. Okay. So this happens December, the early days of December. She's reported missing. Police talk to Brian. You know, he says, I was asleep for 18 hours. I have no idea what you're talking about. I woke up. She wasn't here. Now, I do want to point out she had no money for an Uber and didn't have a car, so...
And what kind of setting did he live in? Is it city? Is it...
She Ubered to his house. He paid for that.
So we can assume that there's service, an Uber would go out that way, things like that.
Yes.
Okay.
So on 12-11, December 11th, the case breaks... semi-wide open. Cheyenne's phone powers on and makes a call to 911.
What? Who ever heard of that?
When the operator answers, hello 911, or however they answer the phone, her phone hangs up and never turns back on again.
I imagine it wasn't long enough for them to ping it or anything.
It was.
You're getting there?
But it took them 10 days to get the ping result.
Really?
So on
do better, 2017.
On 12/7/22, they find out it was at Mallard Lake Preserve.
Oh, I don't like that.
Right, because we just talked, because you all know we're in the midst of the Brian Laundrie saga, and he was in a preserve. So it is it's about 20 miles from her house. It's about 1,000 acres. It's gorgeous. It's got trails and lakes and fishing and all the things. So police do the first pass that same day. They go in, they do a search. This is what their quote is. We found possible evidence, but it doesn't have a link to anything. Y'all, you can't see Amy. I'm going to start recording her because she just laughed and covered her face because she didn't want to laugh into the mic.
Because my first thought was, are these the same exact detectives that worked on Mary's case?
Right. So
we know it's and not this, and this and this, and this and this, and this, and that covers just about everything. Thank you.
Right.
When I laugh, by the way, I just want to be super clear. No way, shape, or form disrespectful. It's almost 100% of the time because it's laughably ridiculous.
It's actually the opposite. Like, I think you laugh because you're so appalled at what the statement might be or what law enforcement has said that it's actually the opposite of disrespectful. You want more for the victim.
Absolutely. Nail right on the head. But continue.
So police also make a statement that they are treating this as a missing persons case and not any sort of anything else.
I appreciate the language. At least we're hearing that it's missing person and they don't assume she walked away and she's moved on with her life somewhere.
So the only other statement police have made is they have interrogated Brian Biddle, they searched his house, they searched his phone. He is not a person of interest, he is not a suspect, he is just a witness. a sleeping witness, I guess. And that's a new thing for me, but... Again, Amy's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally it.
Has there been anything in the news since...
No. Nope. I was able to listen to a 4-minute interview with her aunt. And her aunt talked about how she went out and did one of the searches for her in the Mallard Lake Preserve. And she was like, I was horrified the whole time because, like, you know, you obviously want to find something, but you don't want to find her.
Yeah. Are there Facebook groups or anything that can talk about either where they are in the investigation or even family members that post, like, frustration with how slow things are moving?
There is a Facebook group for like, Justice for Cheyenne, but no. I mean, do you want theories?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. She had an unpredictable lifestyle, so she left her life. She was victim of foul play by Brian Biddle, victim of foul play by another person, and that other person could be, it's likely they think, most people think if she was hurt, it was by someone she knew. Whether it be Brian, whether it be the friend zone, jealous friend, whatever. And then sex trafficking.
So tell me about kind of what you said about a lot of people having interest in being with Cheyenne. Are these her friends? Are these people that partied with her? Are they people that she knew on social media?
I think a combination of all of them. A lot of it, that information came from her aunt called her beautiful and said that, like, you know, like, any guy would be lucky to have her. But more importantly, Chad, the best friend that was friend-zoned, talked a lot about, like, potential suitors and how, you know, he hated all of them, basically.
Okay.
I didn't get the impression she was, like, promiscuous. Not that that matters, even a little bit. But I didn't get that impression. I just think that, like, because she's beautiful, she was approached by guys, basically.
So what you're saying is the suspect list widens because if she were to reject them or something like that, then that is reasonable motive. I don't think it's reasonable, but...
Yes, 100%. And then there's, like, the whole random foul play, like, did she leave his house on her own and get in and then, like, walk or get, I don't know, kidnapped or whatever.
Okay, well, hang on. Does she have any best friends that we know of? Does she...
No. None of them is... Well, her, the guy. Chad. That's it.
Just him.
Yep.
Does she or any of these persons of interest, or at least my persons of interest, sorry, I'll be clear about that, have any history of violence or fighting or anything?
So it says that she was arrested a while ago, but I don't, it sounds like it was for marijuana. I don't know. I couldn't pull the arrest record, but it sounds like that. Now,
so there's Ryan, no evidence of fighting or anything like that?
No. And but I will, hold on. Let me go. I already closed that screen, but I want to read it to you. But don't worry. Shortly after, so I'm talking February 9th, 2018, Brian is arrested for a felon in possession of a firearm, drug paraphernalia possession, possession of ammunition without a valid something, possession of a controlled substance, etc.
Okay.
But police still do not think he is a suspect in Cheyenne's. So I think for me, like, what I want to figure out is that 911 call.
Okay, well, can we just knock out some things, maybe? Like, what do you think about her leaving her life?
I don't think she did. But here's the thing. She just lost her mom and her dog. It sounds like her parents were not together. I do not know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. So if she was with her mom and her dog and then they both were no longer there, she may not have anything tying her there.
Right. I mean, if she had people that she spoke with, and not even a romantic interest, but just someone that was like, hey, I'm leaving town and I'm going to go basically travel till I land somewhere and get a job. It could have been something that she's like, well, I've got nothing here. See,
I agree.
But I see that as a possibility for her to leave, but not talk to anybody again. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I could accept that except her leaving and whatever, if she had said to, I don't know, like her aunt, don't worry about me. I've got another opportunity in Nebraska. I'm going to be fine. I'll be in touch.
I think it's interesting that you think she would choose Nebraska, but yeah.
First but place yes, that came I to agree. My mind.
But for me, there are a couple things. So I guess I sort of land on she's somewhere against her will.
Okay, so that leaves open some probable sex trafficking or random foul play that doesn't necessarily result in death?
I don't know. And here's the thing. A lot of people, including law enforcement, speculate that 911 call was staged.
That was my first impression, honestly. So hold that. Put it to the side for a moment. Does that mean that you don't think her friend and that other guy had anything to do with it?
I'm being quiet because I'm thinking. I would not rule either of them out. And I'd like to know how law enforcement did. But my guess would be they just couldn't rule them in either.
Right.
But if it's the best friend, I have a hard time with the 911 call. That makes no sense to me.
Well, the only way I can understand her best friend having anything to do with it is if, because he wasn't partying, he was separate from that, at least in that situation. She's texting him, calling him. He does respond, go picks her up, and something happens.
Yep. I would think her phone records would show that, though.
True.
Although maybe not, because if they had iPhones, iMessages don't show up on the bill.
Maybe not. So that's an uncertainty. I like to think that we can figure that stuff out, and I don't know. If it was the other guy...
The Sleeping Rock?
Yes, I don't automatically go to, like, a sexual assault or anything, but what if he gave her drugs or something and she overdosed and he panicked?
I actually agree with you. Well, so if he's involved, I would say it's for me, it's like 60, it could be an overdose, 40% a sexual assault.
Okay.
I wouldn't rule out either of them, but I do give him... I want to say grace, but that's not the right word. I give him a little bit of leeway, I guess, that he didn't assault her and then kill her. It was that she overdosed.
Okay. So if we think some of those are a possibility, then what do we make of the 911 call? Because I wondered if it was staged as well.
Why did you wonder that?
You randomly turn on the phone and you don't mess up the numbers, you don't call a couple of people, and then 911, it's a deliberate 911 call, then it doesn't just end the call, it ends the call and shuts off the phone. It seems methodical.
What if it died? What if her phone was dead? And she turns it on, has like 1% battery, and hopes she can get a call out to 911?
Well, yes, I can agree with that, but that wasn't my first thought.
Okay. So if that's the case, then this is an intentional death because they are trying to draw police away from where she actually was.
Are we assuming that she's passed?
I don't know that, but what I would say is, okay, it was intentionally designed to draw police away from something else.
Unless it was her, and you're right that her phone was dying.
I don't know. I wish there was more information.
Okay, so if someone intentionally did it, the reason would be to take attention off something.
Yes.
Risky.
Right, because then, like, you're in possession of her phone. You're trying to... I don't know.
I mean, because what if you had your phone on you and they're both tracked to the same location?
Yeah. And now, I will tell you, multiple people on the Reddit think her best friend is a creeper.
I can appreciate that.
And if it is him, is that like a no one else can have you, so I can't either? Or I can't have you, so no one else?
When you're waiting to shoot your shot, and you're watching the person that you think that you love, and I use that very loosely, engage in conversations, flirtations with other people, could there be a breaking point? Sure. I mean, the Lifetime movies portray it all the time.
Right, especially if you're the one she always calls when she needs something, you know, like, okay, I'm done partying with this guy, come pick me up.
Right. There could have been a breaking point. I mean, that's a hard one. I don't know his character. I've never witnessed them. We don't have witnesses that say, yeah, like, the way that he acted around her was very weird. We don't have argument records. We don't have previous responses to jealousies of his. Only his response of, yes, I've been jealous.
Right.
Or, yes, I never liked anybody that she dated.
And here's the thing. Brian, the guy she was partying with, welcomed police into his home, gave him access to his computer, gave him access to his phone. And, like, people on the Reddit also make the point that, like, so she was desperately looking for a ride. And Chad doesn't respond, and then what, she just gives up?
It would depend on your state. Sometimes if you're under the influence, as we know from several cases, people will leave and think they can walk.
Yeah, you're right.
And that puts her in the category of potential foul play by a stranger.
Oh my goodness, this just got more complicated.
Yeah, I felt that as soon as it left my mouth.
And if that's the case, do you think the 911 call was her?
We're talking 10 days later, though.
And anyone that kidnapped her is going to take away her phone, right? Like, that's the first thing they're going to do.
I would think so in 2021. That's not cool by any means, but...
No, I'm not, Amy. Neither is kidnapping.
No, I know. I don't think... Then if it was a stranger, I think it's more likely that it was her... And she got a hold of her phone. Because if it was a stranger, why would you need to stage anything? You already don't have a connection to her.
Yeah, you're right. So if it was a stranger, we think that was her. If it was not a stranger, we think it was a staged phone call.
Yes, however, it gets us no closer to a theory.
Do you think it was her texting Chad for a ride?
Yes.
Okay. How do you think she left his house?
This is all based on my hope that the police did a thorough job of tracing Chad's steps. Did he leave his home? And if they did, then we would know that he was not at home or he picked her up or there's something more to the story that we don't know, right? So then she would have had to leave on foot. We would have record that she called an Uber, right?
Right. But she had no money.
So the only other option is that she felt like it's 5 o'clock. The sun in Illinois probably isn't going to be up until 6:30, 7 o'clock. She might have thought that she'd run into some daylight. I don't know if she was under the influence of anything. On the other hand, it's freezing. The weather is likely comparable to the Northeast, and maybe even a little bit harsher. But again, I don't know, like, when you're drinking, you feel like the cold doesn't matter. You can get to wherever you're going to get to. But how far would it be to where she was staying or living?
Well, hold on 1 second. I'm obviously scrolling the Reddit as we're talking. And someone says, the texts were pleading to be picked up, but from where? Does she ever say where she is? We're assuming she's still at Brian's house.
Yes. Yes, we are. However, I can see talking to my best friend in person or over the phone through the course of the day saying, I'm going to a party or I'm going to a get-together. I'm going over Brian's tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes. It's just...
I agree, but I've been... out with people and trying to find them across the bar or, you know, whatever when I was younger, and I would send a handful of texts being like, where are you? I'm over here. Do you see me? So that repetitive texting is anxiety, I think, not so much anything else.
Okay. I can see that. I agree. Which means we are now almost half an hour in, and I've made zero progress on my thoughts.
Coming at this like I trust the police and that they've thoroughly checked out this cast of characters, I'm inclined to think that maybe she walked. And it would be really helpful to know where where she lived in comparison to him. Because if it was like...
It sounds like, okay, so they will... That everyone says that the preserve is 20 miles from his house and 18 from hers.
So they lived 2 or 3 miles apart, maybe.
That would be my guess, yes.
Okay. So I think it would be reasonable if you were a little bit drunk or under the influence of something to be like, 3 miles, what's that? I can do that. I don't want to be here. I need to leave. I need to go home. And then that would have to lead me to foul play.
But random?
Yes.
So then the 911 call was her.
Then I would have to believe that.
Amy, I don't know. See, I could see that being foul play and the 911 call still being to throw everyone off the trail.
I could too, but this is based on, I believe that the police did a thorough job with their searches and with looking at phone records and phone data. And I don't think that there is anything that supports specific sex trafficking. Could it happen? Absolutely.
But I think it can happen anywhere, anyone. Yeah.
We can agree that if it was under those circumstances, it would be a stranger anyway, whether it's someone that has ulterior motives for sex trafficking or just kidnapping and so on.
So where do you land? Do you land on she left the house by herself on random foul play?
So this is a strange place to be because my gut says that neither of these guys feel good, okay? But I'm trying to take a very...
Logical?
Well, not even a logical, because logical is to look at the people around her really closely. So it's just kind of more evidence-based. And under the guise of, I hope that law enforcement did a very thorough job with these gentlemen. And that based off that hope, she walked and encountered random foul play.
I think I just struggle with the 18-hour sleep. And, okay, even if it was because he was on drugs and passed out or whatever, any hard drug like heroin, you're going to need a fix in that 18 hours, I think.
I'm thinking of being on, like, a cocaine or crack bender where you're awake for dangerous days at a time. And then you're out and you crash and burn.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know enough that's possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think 18 hours is excessive.
I don't know. I think I'm like completely on the train that 911 call is staged. I'm like 95% there.
And like I said, that's why this is slightly strange for me, is my gut says all of the same things.
Yeah, I think I'm on the fact that it's totally a red herring.
Hmm.
Like, it's just something. The perpetrator did it to throw law enforcement off.
I would like to know, on that day, when that call was made, who were the cops investigating? Who were they questioning? Because something at day 10 or so would have increased someone's panic. Like, the focus is being a little shifted on me, and now I have to do something to throw them off. I want to know what happened, like, 2 days before that call happened. Was that when they started asking to
That's look, a great point.
Was that when they started to ask Brian if they could look at his computer and all of his things? And then he's like, got to throw him off now? Or was that when they went knocking on Chad's door and said, hey, we have some follow-up questions for you?
That's a great point. And while you're doing that thinking and totally throwing my mind in a different direction, I actually just reached out to someone I know that is sober, and I said, hey, have you ever heard of someone being on a drug bender and then sleeping for 18 hours after it? And their response was, absolutely. I slept for 24 one time.
Right.
So I weirdly think it's actually possible he is a witness and not a suspect.
Oh, me too. Yeah. His lack of any apprehension to hand those stuff over.
But I want, just so we're clear.
Those things over.
Being a sleeping rock does not mean that should be your alibi. And in Courtney's case, the rock totally did something to her.
Well, because we know that there was shuffling in the apartment above.
I just want to make it clear that an 18-hour nap is not sufficient for me. I understand it's possible, but that's not going to be enough for me. Just so everyone knows that.
I guess I feel a little bit differently. If that's what happened, and you're trying to say that's what happened, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
If that's true, though, and he slept those 18 hours, she either A, left on foot, or B, Chad came and picked her up. And if Chad came and picked her up, something happened there and he staged the call. Or the other option is, what I was saying is random foul play.
I actually agree with you. I didn't start that way.
I
didn't start that way. I started with, is this Brian dude? But I think you have talked me into it either being Chad or random foul play because she left on foot.
If it's Chad, then she's no longer here with us.
Yes. Agreed.
When it comes down to those two options, though, I can't choose one or the other. There's just not enough.
Me either. And what I want to say, too, is, like, listen, 2017 is not that long ago. It's totally possible she's alive.
We know there's JC Dugards out there.
Exactly. So share this.
That is true. That is true. Hold out hope for sure.
Are you ready to open it up? Because I...
Oh, please. For the love of Christmas, open it up.
Yeah, guys, please tell us what you think. I mean, I think Amy has convinced me that this Brian guy is actually a witness. But that leaves us with Chad or random foul play. If you think it's anything else or them, but please share it with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Right, and if you somehow line this up in a particular way where you can convince me either way or that there's more weight in random foul play or something like that, then I'm eager to hear that as well.
I do want to shout out Ryan, who requested this. And it was literally, it's local to me, and I haven't found much on it except for a Reddit thread. Well, that's because there's not a whole lot out there. But please send us these cases. You know, we say it time and time again, like, this is the stuff, we'll dig in, we'll do what we can. And you know, we'll have the conversation, and then we'll hope the more people that talk about it, the better off she is.
Right. And I just kind of want to say this one thing about us, and we repeat a lot of our mottos and our beliefs over and over, and I truly understand how repetitive it sounds. However, the reason for that is, A, we really want you to know that these are our core beliefs. Right. The other reason is sometimes someone pops on an episode and they've never listened to us and they start at episode 105 and they don't understand our approach. So we've gotten emails that have said why this or why that or why you guys do this. And were like, it's because in that particular episode, maybe we didn't say that we're not trying to, I don't know, badmouth law enforcement or we support law enforcement or whatever. So that's a lot of the time why you hear us repeating our messages. We want new listeners to know and you guys to know that we never forget the whole reason we started this, and it's always present in our minds.
Oh, 100%. And I'm going to actually tag on to that. We would much rather you send us an email if you think we misspoke, if you think we did something, if there's something we can improve, please email us. We are totally receptive to feedback. And I think there are multiple listeners out there that know that because they've emailed us things like, don't say killed themselves, say died by suicide. And we immediately made that change. People that say, hey, you handled a transgender case wrong. We were ignorant. We didn't know. So by all means, like, but here's what we ask you not to do. Please don't go write a terrible review and don't give us anything constructive to work with.
Agreed. And we can't respond back.
Right. You can hate us if you want to, but like, tell us so we can work on something if we can. But I don't want to end on that. This episode is about Cheyenne. We'll get off our high horses, and we'll be back next week with a whole new episode.
All right. Thanks. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
The Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.